I have no clue if you all have liked that bit of the music. I'm just trying out new music every now and then just to figure out which one suits to the show. So ladies and gentlemen, welcome you all to Drive Through HR, the number one internet daily radio show for the HR professionals. And this is your host, Nisha. And we are excited to talk to our wonderful guest, Janine Turrett. Janine, welcome back to Drive Through HR.
Hi, how's everybody doing?
How are you, Janine?
I'm good. I'm hanging in there. Busy week, but everything's good. Can't complain.
Well, we are glad to hear that, and so happy to have you here with us at Drive Through HR. So, Janine, why don't you kick off the show by telling our audience, if there is anyone out there listening to our show for the first time and who doesn't know of you, why don't you kick off by telling them who you are and what you do?
So I am Janine Truitt. I have been in HR for over 10 years. I'm the Chief Innovations Officer for Talent Think Innovations, LLC. It is my own baby consulting, HR talent management consulting firm. Based in Long Island, New York, and I am also the founder of the Aristocracy of HR blog.
It's so cool. So how is it going for you, the life of an entrepreneur?
It's going quite well, actually. I guess I didn't really know. I knew what I was jumping into when I made the decision, but I didn't realize how much I was going to enjoy actually having freedom to decide what kind of work I want to do. The when of when I do it is still something that gets away from me because, you know, you have to work, you have to get it done, and I pretty much try to treat my days as a normal business day as if I was working in a brick-and-mortar building. But the flexibility in doing the kind of work that I want to do and working with the clients that I want to work with is just really nice. And also just having a lot of extra time for my kids has been great. So I have no complaints.
Well, congratulations. And we are happy for you, seeing you are working with some of the bigger organizations out there. So I'm glad to see that Talent Think Innovations is growing.
Thank you.
Alrighty. So tell our audience, what is keeping you up at night these days?
Oh, I tend to be stuck in this whole realm of, I guess, you know, talent management. I think from the beginning of January or even the end of last year, that's kind of been my theme. For people that follow my blog and follow my writing elsewhere, I've just kind of been engulfed with talent management and where it's going and what the future holds on the whole for HR. And so I'm just paying attention to that, doing a lot of research, looking at the different polls and trying to kind of figure out what that looks like for HR in the future.
Well, take us through that journey. Where are we headed to, this HR? You foresee us in, let's say, by 2020?
So, you know, I think one of the things that continues to perplex me is the fact that at least for the past 4 to 6 years, it seems like when these surveys come out about the top talent management trends, we still can't get a handle of that employee engagement piece. It just seems to be like that elusive thing that it's hard for people to kind of get on board with. It does seem that Gallup has seen a little bit of a shift over the past year. So we went from, like, I think 31.5% or it was like 29.6%, and we actually moved up to like 31.5% of people that are engaged this year. So, you know, the writing about it has been like, oh, well, we're making strides. And for me, it seems like a marginal difference between last year and even the year before. So, you know, for us, I really think, I'm not going to say HR is gone. I'm not taking that drastic of an approach, but I definitely think that we have to shift the way that we think about how we approach the workforce. And I think it has to be a lot more flexible than what we've done in the past. in order for us to keep up with the changes in the workforce. And I think a lot of the changes are not necessarily going to be HR taking the stand to make those changes, but I think it's going to be driven by the workforce, and we're going to kind of be under duress to have to make those changes because, you know, you need people to work for you, essentially. So it's almost like it's going to be a grassroots effort.
Absolutely. Well, while we were thinking about, you know, the employee engagement, and we know the survey, the disengaged rate of employees, but at the same time, we cannot deny the fact that the workforce or the mix of multi-generational workforce is going to be diverse, merging. So, and when we consider employee engagement as a critical factor, we do really need to understand the targeted employee group, right? So what do you recommend for our HR professional when it comes to building a talent management strategy, and how can they tweak that or customize that in order to make it suitable for the workforce generations that they have inside the organization?
So I think from a generational standpoint, I think we've really gotten stuck on the notion that there are these stark differences between the generations, and in some regard there is in terms of approach, but I think generally people want the same things at the core, so I'm kind of moving away from that idea that, oh, well, millennials want this, I should have a checklist for them, and this is how you manage them, and traditionalists want this, and I should have a checklist for that. I really think that it comes down to looking at individuals. So, I mean, you can certainly look at millennials, and we certainly know that by 2020 they're going to be like three quarters of the workforce, and so there's something to be said about that and how they approach work and building strategy around that. But when I speak to boomers or if I speak to Gen X, you still get hints of that millennial mindset, if you will, in them. And so, you know, I'm not so sure that it is a generational thing more than we need to be kind of looking at people as humans, as individuals, and trying to match them the best way we can to the organization and to the goals of the organization.
Absolutely. And then talking about employee engagement, recently I kind of read this study. In fact, it on Instagram and Facebook, and it's from Intelo, and they are saying the first 2 years of employee engagement is really, really crucial, and that's the period normally organization will have huge attrition from the new employees during their first 2 years of time. So what do you recommend for our HR professionals and even their organization out there in order to engage their employees right at the beginning?
Keep the dialogue open and have regular dialogue. I think one of the biggest mistakes we make in organizations, and I know this after spending a lot of time in talent acquisition, is we're such in a hurry to fill a requisition with a body. And it's like when you get that body in that position and you can close that requisition, it's like a sigh of relief. But then your adrenaline gets kicking again because then there's, you know, like 20, 30, 40 other requisitions that have to be filled as well, that we forget about those new starts that have just begun their career with us. And, you know, we may keep in touch for a little bit and kind of, you know, if you see them in the hallway, say, oh, hey, how's things going? But then that even falls off and you forget about them. And then, you know, they get shuffled into, you know, basically annual performance reviews. That's a very rote kind of process that doesn't really allow for dialogue. It's a more talking at kind of situation. So I think in those 2 years, you basically still have somebody that is willing to see how things go, is still pretty pumped about the job itself in the role. And, you know, even if they're seeing things that they don't like, they're still willing to give you the benefit of the doubt in that period. But if it kind of goes beyond that, it starts to get in danger zone, and that's when people start thinking, like, maybe this is not the place for me. Maybe I should be moving on somewhere. So I think it has to be a top-down initiative that, you know, HR or even talent acquisition keeps their hands on those new employees and keeps the dialogue open so that they know that if there are any issues that are coming up or things that they didn't expect when they were taking the job, that they can voice those concerns and they can be dealt with in a way where they don't feel like they're either being retaliated against or that somebody will frown upon what they're saying. And at least you're catching it before the exit interview. You know, it's a way for them to feel comfortable in having that conversation with somebody. So I think that would be the approach I would take.
You know, I'm going to switch the gear a little bit. Well, while we are talking more about talent management and the future of work, you know, throughout your research, what have you seen, you know, how the way we work has evolved throughout these years and how it's going to be different in the future?
So, I mean, from thinking back to when I started in HR, I mean, at that time, you know, you had these very defined roles, and I think we still do today, you know, that were generally rolled down from compensation. And, you know, there were just these very defined roles that had defined knowledge, skills, and abilities, and that was it. And then I think, you know, 2008 brought a new reality in the sense that we went through that recession. A lot of jobs were eliminated. A lot of jobs that were eliminated for the first time that I can remember did not come back after we kind of came out of that slump. And so, you know, I think the workforce had to get savvy because those jobs weren't there. They didn't come back. They had to kind of find new ways of generating income for themselves and sustaining themselves. So I think you have a workforce now still with people that are in traditional roles, of course, but I think we're starting to see a shift of people that maybe do a lot of different things. So, you know, they may be HR person by day, but they may be beauty blogger by night, and they might bartend, and, you know, they may be a YouTube person, you know, on another occasion, and they want to do all those things because all of those things have meaning for them, or they bring meaning to the kind of work that they want to contribute at large. And so I don't think that that's a trend that we're going to see go away. I think we're going to see that become more and more prevalent. And I think the question for HR is, what do you do with that individual when you see that coming towards you, as far as that being a prospective candidate that may enter your organization? And it certainly speaks to contingent workforce and that kind of free agent thing that's been spoken about for quite some time in terms of people really marketing themselves as free agents and not looking at themselves as somebody in need of a job, but somebody that has a certain skill set that they can market to a particular company when they need it. And that's a completely different thing, I think, than HR has ever been kind of in a position to deal with on a regular basis. I mean, we've always had temp staff, but it was always to fill in pockets of workforce needs. It was never a kind of a thing where that was an ongoing thing. So I think that's something we're going to see change quite a bit and probably continue well into 2020, and we have to kind of decide how we're going to handle that.
Correct. Well, nowadays, you know, your workforce has so much to offer. They are more than the role that is written in your job description. Somebody is out there who has a social presence, and somebody is out there, as you said, a number one beauty blogger who definitely have a social presence out there. So, and then while we were talking more about that contingent workforce or on-demand employees, or let's say the new era of freelancers, right? Mm-hmm. So the changing nature of employment is going on. So what do you recommend for the HR? Is there any new approach that HR should do in order to optimize their workforce?
Well, I certainly think, you know, it's going to certainly change how they assimilate into an organization. So, you know, the approach has traditionally been, you know, you have to be empowered or feel a certain way about working with the company or be dedicated to that company for X amount of time, and that's been an expectation on the end of the employer. And so, you know, the message probably has to now shift to, do you have the knowledge, skills, and abilities to help us execute what it is we're trying to execute, and do you have a passion for this kind of work? And obviously they have to also have a passion for the company to some extent, but it's not a longevity kind of thing, because from a freelancer standpoint, you know, it's a project, it's for a time, and they're dedicated to that project and that work insofar as the, whatever has to be executed. So I think, you know, HR just needs to be able to tie everything together from what the expectations are from a company perspective, but also understanding some of the limitations that exist when you have, you know, freelancers that are really just looking to do what they need to do and move on to the next project. So that expectation of loyalty is probably out of the window, but really more of the focus, mm-hmm. I think, for HR is on collaboration and communication and making sure that the people are set up for what they need to do and they're able to be successful in what they need to do for the company.
Well, this really takes me to the next question, that is about the skills gap that our organizations are facing in their workforce, right? So do you recommend that when their talent management strategy that our HR and our employers out there, should they be using their data or how should they be using their data about workforce to understand their strength and then potential vulnerabilities from a skills perspective?
So, I mean, certainly predictive analytics is all the rage. And, you know, we know that many companies are still kind of struggling just trying to report at an ad hoc level. So, you know, it really, for the first things first, you kind of have to get HR to move from reporting as they are, which is kind of, you know, as the fires present, and getting more proactive about kind of looking at their processes and looking at data that correlates to those processes so that they can be more informed about how that's actually affecting business outcomes and the workforce. So, I mean, certainly we can get to a point where we start to forecast and we have those kinds of dialogues to pass on to the C-suite, but we first have to kind of move beyond the level of reporting where we are now, which I think we're at 56% of HR departments that are still just dealing with day-to-day ad hoc reporting and just about 4% that are doing any kind of predictive analysis. And, you know, in some organizations that may mean actually having some sort of statistician or somebody that's really good with that on tap, because I don't really know that that's an HR focus or even an HR skill. It's mm-hmm. something that, you know, you can teach people over time, but certainly having somebody that can talk that statistician talk and help them derive some results from that kind of data would be helpful. So I think, you know, it maybe leaves room for maybe even a new role in HR, like an HR statistician or something, or workforce statistician, something like that would probably be great in the future.
All right. So you help organization, I mean your clients, in terms of bringing up a great talent management strategy and then helping them successful. So how about, what if an organization who doesn't have a talent management strategy at all? So, and then what could be the cost of not having a talent management strategy?
Well, I mean, certainly in turnover and you know, certainly in productivity. I mean, I have seen organizations, and I mean, in my business, I'm really working with small to mid-sized businesses. You know, many of them cannot afford to have an on-site HR person, and many of them haven't even thought about what it means, what talent management means, and what that means for their business. And they're just kind of going through the motions, shooting from the hip, you know, not having, putting people in positions to lead teams that have not been formally trained on how to do that kind of thing. And so what ends up happening is you either end up with a highly miserable workforce, because, you know, maybe some people just don't have the wherewithal or the means to move on to another position, and so they stick there anyway, but they're not necessarily productive. They're what we call those actively disengaged people, which, in my opinion, are the most dangerous because they're angry, they're not engaged, mm-hmm. they're not happy when they come to work, and so it shows through their work. And so, like, that's the worst kind of people to have to retain. But then the other end of that are the people that you just lose altogether that do have the wherewithal and do know better, and they're just like, I'm not going to take this. And so you will see where you have high turnover and you're constantly having to hire people. And, you know, it's not until, going back to the data piece, it's not until you start to look at the data or until somebody kind of spells it out for them and says, look, this is your turnover and this is how much it's costing you in productivity, that, you know, that aha happens and it's like, oh, wow, maybe I should be paying attention to this a little bit more. So, you know, it's kind of something that is evolving, at least in the area of small to mid-sized business, where you have to kind of help them see, and data can be helpful, and dollars and cents as well can be helpful in helping them see that, you know, having a talent management strategy, even on a very basic level, can be very helpful.
Absolutely. So, Janine, tell our audience your work with IBM. That's a new way to work, right? The hashtag. So tell us the cool things that are happening there.
So IBM is the coolest, I have to say. They, at the end of last year, partnered with a company called Pure Matter, and they decided to put on their first Thinkathon, which was all about hacking the future of work. And what they did is they assembled 30 people that have some dealings with workforce, but from very different angles. So you had people like myself that were HR practitioners, gone entrepreneur. You had some people that were just HR practitioners like Jay Coombs, and then you had, you know, some other people that are more on the social business end of things. And essentially for 2 to 3 days, it was our job to sit together and hack the future of work. And so we went through each portion of what that means. So whether it was the future of work where it regards technology, the future of work where it regards security, communication and collaboration, we were charged with kind of looking at what's going on now and how we see that changing in the future and what steps we can actually take to getting there. And so, you know, that happened in November, but what they've done is they've continued the trajectory of the group through this hashtag new way to work. And so you have tons of IBM employees that are chiming in there, but also a lot of thought leadership on there, people that are just kind of delving into this whole huge topic, really, of the future of work. And so, you know, it's certainly something that I would love the HR community to, you know, hop over there and take a look at some of the articles and commentary that's coming out of it, because there's some really, really good things coming out of there, some things that, you know, from an HR perspective, maybe we aren't thinking about, but other people are, that are coming from different angles. So it's been a really good project. We also have an ebook out all about the future of work that kind of compiles the kind of work that we did over the 2 days. So really proud of it.
Absolutely, yeah. We are also so excited to read and learn more about that program. So where can our audience find more details about this program? You know, I know you mentioned the hashtag new way to work, but other than that, any other links or websites that you suggest?
So you can follow at Pure Matter on Twitter. You can follow at IBM Social Business. You can also subscribe to the IBM Social Business YouTube channel that has videos from a lot of the futurists on the project. And certainly I have some articles and some of the things that we did posted at the Aristocracy of HR, so you can certainly get some more info from there.
Wonderful. Well, look forward to learning more about that. So folks, check it out at IBM to learn more about the cool work that Janine does at New Way to Work. So we're down to 5 minutes at this point, Janine, and one of the questions that I left out is the role of technology in talent management or building a talent management strategy. So where do you think HR is at this point, and what should they be learning or unlearning when it comes to technology?
Well, I think one of the things we have to recognize is that technology has grown leaps and bounds, I think, in the past, you know, 5 to 6 years. So, you know, a lot of the things that we might have been looking for technology to do 10 years ago, I think we've kind of reached the point where we're actually even, you know, maybe overstimulated, or there's almost too much to look at in that landscape. So, you know, there's a lot of things from an administrative standpoint that HR has loved to kind of hang on to that they can let go of now because the technology can do it. And the opportunity there is that we have more time to kind of work on maybe the more important business-related concerns than kind of holding on to things like forms and that sort of thing. So, I mean, technology is huge in that matter. But the other thing, too, is just understanding that there are limitations to the technology. So as far as it's come, it still is technology, and it still does require – there's certain things that still require a human touch. And I think part of our job is going to be to understand where we need to step in and have that human touch and where we let the technology touch down. And that's something that every organization has to kind of sit down and kind of figure out how they want to navigate that. But, this idea of, technology is going to do all and be all probably isn't the right approach, although, people tell me in, 10 years or so, we should expect robots to have all of our jobs. So mm-hmm. there's that. But, for now, while we still have this balance, I think we really need to be looking at that balance of where we can make a human touch because it's still needed and where we can have technology really help us kind of facilitate doing the things that we really shouldn't be focused on, which allows us to work, closely on other strategic aspects of the business.
All right. So let me ask you one of a personal question. I know you have been a great leader out there when it comes to talent management and a successful entrepreneur, and you are out there at speaking engagements and, of course, blogging too. How do you manage time for all this?
I wonder the same. I don't know. I can tell you that, I have days that are completely free, and that's nice, and I have a lot of days where I'm up extremely late, just working, because, the blogging for me is cathartic, and I know people kind of have come to look for it, so it's kind of that thing I just still find time for, and the speaking is also a passion because it gives me an opportunity to actually have that face-to-face interaction with people, so... I think it comes back to the whole thing of what we've been talking about just with talent management. When you love the work that you do, you don't really think about how much time you spend on it. And I guess that's kind of the hope that I have for, the workforce on the whole is that we can get to a point where people just enjoy their work and where their skills can shine. I can't hear you.